Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 15, page 740, Soul Force, and the Fourfold Personality. The perfecting of the normal mind, heart, prana, and body gives us only the perfection of the psychophysical machine we have to use and creates certain right instrumental conditions for a divine life and works, lived and done with a purer, greater, clearer power and knowledge. The next question is that of the force which is poured into the instruments, Karana, and the One who works it for His universal ends. The force at work in us must be the manifest divine Shakti, the supreme or the universal force unveiled in the liberated individual being, Para Prakritir Jivabhuta, who will be the doer of all the action and the power of this divine life, Karta. The one behind this force will be the Ishwara, the master of all being, with whom all our existence will be, in our perfection, a yoga at once of oneness in being, and of union in various relations of the soul and its nature, with the Godhead who is seated within us, and in whom, too, we live, move, and have our being. It is this Shakti with the Ishwara in her or behind her whose divine presence and way we have to call into all our being and life. For without this divine presence and this greater working, there can be no siddhi of the power of the nature. All the action of man in life is a nexus of the presence of the soul and the workings of nature, Purusha and Prakriti. The presence and influence of the Purusha represents itself in nature as a certain power of our being, which we may call for our immediate purpose soul force. And it is always this soul force which supports all the workings of the powers of the reason, the mind, life, and body, and determines the caste of our conscious being and the type of our nature. The normal, ordinarily developed man possesses it in a subdued, a modified, a mechanized, submerged form, as temperament and character. But that is only its most outward mold, in which Purusha, the conscious soul or being, seems to be limited, conditioned, and given some shape by the mechanical Prakriti. The soul flows into whatever molds of intellectual, ethical, aesthetic, dynamic, vital and physical mind and type the developing nature takes, and can act only in the way this formed Prakriti lays on it and move in its narrow groove or relatively wider circle. The man is then sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, or a mixture of these qualities, and his temperament is only a sort of subtler soul color, which has been given to the major prominent operation of these fixed modes of his nature. Men of a stronger force get more of the soul power to the surface and develop what we call a strong or great personality. They have in them something of the vibhuti as described by the Gita. Vibhutimat sattvam srimat orjitam eva va. A higher power of being, often touched with, or sometimes full of, some divine afflatus, or more than ordinary manifestation of the Godhead, which is indeed present in all, even in the weakest or most clouded living being. But here, some special force of it begins to come out from behind the veil of the average humanity. And there is something beautiful, attractive, splendid, or powerful in these exceptional persons, which shines out in their personality, character, life, and work. These men, too, work in the type of their nature force according to its gunas. But there is something evident in them, and yet not easily analyzable, which is, in reality, a direct power of the self and spirit using to strong purpose the mold and direction of the nature. The nature itself thereby rises to, or towards, a higher grade of its being. Much in the working of the force may seem egoistic or even perverse, but it is still the touch of the Godhead behind. Whatever daivic, asuric, or even rakshasic form it may take, which drives the prakriti and uses it for its own greater purpose. A still more developed power of the being will bring out the real character of this spiritual presence, and it will then be seen as something impersonal and self-existent and self-empowered, a sheer soul force, which is other than the mind force, life force, force of intelligence, but drives them. And even while following to a certain extent their mold of working, guna, type of nature, yet puts its stamp of an initial transcendence, impersonality, pure fire of spirit, a something beyond the gunas of our normal nature. When the spirit in us is free, then what was behind this soul force comes out in all its light, beauty, and greatness. The spirit, the Godhead, who makes the nature and soul of man his foundation and living representative in cosmic being and mind, action, and life. The Godhead, the spirit manifested in nature, appears in a sea of infinite quality, ananta guna. But the executive or mechanical prakriti is of the threefold guna, sattva, rajas, tamas, and the ananta guna. The spiritual play of infinite quality modifies itself in this mechanical nature into the type of these three gunas. And in the soul force in man, this Godhead in nature represents itself as a fourfold effective power. Katur Vyuha, a power for knowledge, a power for strength, a power for mutuality and active and productive relation and interchange, a power for works and labor and service. And its presence casts all human life into a nexus and inner and outer operation of these four things. The ancient thought of India, conscious of this fourfold type of active human personality and nature, built out of it the four types of the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, each with its spiritual turn, ethical ideal, suitable upbringing, fixed function in society, and place in the evolutionary scale of the spirit. As always tends to be the case, when we too much externalize and mechanize the more subtle truths of our nature, this became a hard and fast system, inconsistent with the freedom and variability and complexity of the finer developing spirit in man. Nevertheless, the truth behind it exists and is one of some considerable importance in the perfection of our power of nature. But we have to take it in its inner aspects. First, personality, character, temperament, soul type. Then the soul force which lies behind them and wears these forms, and lastly the play of the free spiritual Shakti in which they find their culmination and unity beyond all modes. For the crude external idea that a man is born as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, and that alone is not a psychological truth of our being. The psychological fact is that there are these four active powers and tendencies of the spirit, and its executive Shakti within us, and the predominance of one or the other in the more well-formed part of our personality gives us our main tendencies, dominant qualities and capacities, effective turn in action, and life. But they are more or less present in all men, here manifest, there latent, here developed, there subdued and depressed or subordinate. And in the perfect man will be raised up to a fullness and harmony which in spiritual freedom will burst out into the free play of the infinite quality of the spirit in the inner and outer life, and in the self-enjoying creative play of the Purusha with his and the world's nature power. The most outward psychological form of these things is the mold or trend of the nature towards certain dominant tendencies, capacities, characteristics, form of active power, quality of the mind and inner life, cultural personality, or type. The turn is often towards the predominance of the intellectual element and the capacities which make for the seeking and finding of knowledge and an intellectual creation or formativeness, and a preoccupation with ideas, and the study of ideas, or of life, and the information and development of the reflective intelligence. According to the grade of the development there is produced successively the make and character of the man of active, open, inquiring intelligence, then the intellectual, and last, the thinker, sage, great mind of knowledge. The soul powers which make their appearance by a considerable development of this temperament, personality, soul type, are a mind of light more and more open to all ideas and knowledge and incomings of truth. A hunger and passion for knowledge, for its growth in ourselves, for its communication to others, for its reign in the world, the reign of reason and right and truth and justice and, on a higher level, of the harmony of our greater being, the reign of the spirit and its universal unity and light and love. A power of this light in the mind and will, which makes all the life subject to reason and its right and truth, or to the spirit and spiritual right and truth, and subdues the lower members to their greater law. A poise in the temperament, turned from the first to patience, steady musing and calm to reflection, to meditation, which dominates and quiets the turmoil of the will and passions and makes for high thinking and pure living. Founds the self-governed sattvic mind, grows into a more and more mild, lofty, impersonalized, and universalized personality. This is the ideal character and soul power of the Brahmana, the priest of knowledge. If it is not there in all its sides, we have the imperfections or perversions of the type, a mere intellectuality or curiosity for ideas without ethical or other elevation, a narrow concentration on some kind of intellectual activity without the greater needed openness of mind, soul, and spirit. Or the arrogance and exclusiveness of the intellectual shut up in his intellectuality. Or an ineffective idealism without any hold on life. Or any other of the characteristic incompletenesses and limitations of the intellectual, religious, scientific, or philosophic mind. These are stoppings, short on the way, or temporary exclusive concentrations. But a fullness of the divine soul and power of truth and knowledge in man is the perfection of this Dharma, or Swabhava, the accomplished Brahmanhood of the complete Brahmana. To be continued with the next reading.